Oh, Albert, it's Alice. I missed you today. Years ago, when my oldest child was going off for a year abroad, we got a note from the college that reminded us that even harder than going off on this new adventure would be coming home from it. We can imagine the reasons why. Everything was new and exciting, and one's world perspective changed, and everything was just so terrific and different. And then you go home, and it's all the same in an odd way, and it feels like nobody really appreciates the adventure you were just on. Don't you see me? I'm different. I've evolved. Why haven't you? Oh, Albert, it's Alice. I missed you today. Sometimes, and for some reasons, our going away and our coming home is not what we might have imagined. I think this is likely a poem of loss about our friends Albert and Alice. That Albert didn't make it home after the First World War, but I suspect many veterans are so changed by their service that they do not make it home the same way they left either. They are changed, and yet life at home is somehow the same in an odd way, and it may feel that nobody really appreciates the life one has just experienced, and you are missed for who you were, and yet here you are. We all change with time and circumstance. We have that in common, whether we are a veteran or not. And yet what we ask of our service members is distinct in such a way as to change them differently, perhaps. In the newsletter lead up to this service, I used a quote from John Milton. "Gratitude bestows reverence, allowing us to encounter everyday epiphanies, those transcendent moments of awe that change forever how we experience life and the world." I suggested that we might pause to consider today how our veterans might experience life and the world following service, how our respective experiences might change us differently, how we might encounter epiphanies that incline us to gratitude, or epiphanies that disillusion us. I think we need to be mindful of our veterans because of the role they have played in our country, despite our feelings about the military in general, about war, about our national politics and priorities. There are people among us who have set their lives on hold or who have changed the direction of their paths in order to serve us. We think of country as the ground we walk on, and yet we, you and I, are this country. How do we appreciate their service in return, if only in our minds and our hearts? I'm aware we don't speak easily about military service in Unitarian Universalist communities, easily or often. More often than not, we defer to conversations about how to achieve peace, how to build the beloved communities we aspire to be. In our insistence on holding up the worth and dignity of all beings, we often turn away from the harsher realities of behavior that is neither worthy, dignified, or peaceful, that requires sometimes response in order to assure safety. That issue, of course, is often what kind of response is necessary or productive. The reality of the need for systems of defense is uncomfortable. We would rather live in a world that did not require defense or require deterrence. And of course, the politics of our leadership often points our service members to duty we don't necessarily support or agree with. The military-industrial complex is enormous in this country and inclines us to define our position in the world by power, by money, and by might, rather than humility or wisdom or interdependence. And yet, for better or worse, there are people who have served and continue to serve our country, who choose to leave their homes and their families and become a part of a community that has its own culture, its own habits, its own patterns, its own expectations. Right now, there are 1.4 million active military personnel serving our country. That is 0.4% of the population. So for every 100 people you see walking down the street, you should see 4 people in uniform. I wonder if you have seen one recently. Anybody? A few. By contrast, 9.2 million people served in the military during the Vietnam War era, from 1964 to 1975. I grew up on military bases. There were routinely more uniformed people around us than not. I can't remember the last time I saw someone in uniform. The invisibility of it makes me pause. Where are they, and who are they, and shouldn't I say thank you? Frank shared with us 3 defining parts of military service this morning: mission, discipline, and camaraderie. Quite a combination. It's hard to imagine what other kind of engagement might require the same level of commitment, even when the particular service we're talking about may not be one we agree with. At the very heart of military service is the task of being a protector. In the vow he read this morning, against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Can we imagine taking on that mantle? I'm guessing that our first responders, our police and firefighters, may feel a similar engagement to protect and serve, though the scope is more local. On a website about veterans reintegrating into civilian life was the question of victories, what victories they had experienced of late. My victory was learning to feel human again after returning. What must that experience have been like? What transcendent moments of awe might that person have encountered that moved them again to gratitude? Not all veterans return with the same degree of trauma or discontent, but even in my home, where the transition after my father's 30 years of service was fairly seamless, the difference was palpable. Things we don't think of typically. Clothes, for example. What does one wear every day after years of uniform? What is one called in the civilian world, when no longer an address of rank seems fitting? Where do you choose to live when your service is complete? And who are your friends? What is worthy of one's time after having served such an auspicious mission as the protection of one's constitution? For those of us who have never served in the military, one question is how we respond to those who have. How much support do or can we provide during their service, and how much effort do we make to help those who are returning to civilian life reintegrate and feel welcome? A simple, "Hi, you're new here, what's your name?" But another question might be how we each choose to serve each other. Maybe if we each took more to heart the invitation to be responsible for each other, for all beings, for all life, then our veterans might not feel so set apart by service. Thank you to those among us who have been a part of our armed forces, either by service or as a family member. Thank you to those among us who serve as police officers or firefighters or as members of the Foreign Service. Thank you to those who orient your lives in the many ways possible to care for our safety and our security. And thank you for those whose efforts are to support those returning and re-entering civilian life. Gratitude bestows reverence, allowing us to encounter everyday epiphanies, those transcendent moments of awe that change forever how we experience life and the world. In gratitude for service, may we be reunited in an awe for all that is our life.